Let's stand together this morning and sing At Your Name.
At Your Name, the mountains shake and crumble. At Your Name, the oceans roar and tumble. At Your Name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, Your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout Your name, filling up the skies with endless praise.
Sing together this morning, Cornerstone.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest rain, trust in Jesus' name.
Let's sing that together again.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name.
Christ alone, cornerstone, we
glad that He is Lord of all. Through the storm, we can trust Him. It's good to see everybody coming in today. Good to see you here. How about if you shake somebody's hand around and just say, I'm glad to see you at church this morning.
We are a moment. You are forever. Lord of the ages, God before time. We are a vapor. You are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. We are the broken. You are the healer. Jesus, Redeemer, mighty to save. You are the love song we'll sing forever. Bowing before you, blessing your name. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name.
Aren't you glad we can just lift up the Lord this morning? Lift up His name and praise Him. Come on ahead, Katie. She's going to come and sing this morning. Just before our speaker this morning, Brother Jay comes to speak. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You that we can be together today. We can lift up Your name, and we pray that honor and glory are given to You today, given to Your name. We ask that You be lifted up in this place. I pray that You'll speak through Your message, through the Word. And Lord, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Healer, more than a healing, and help me want the Savior, more Katie, thank you so much for that. Kent, praise team and praise band, thank you all. I believe Children's Church is being dismissed as well. Good morning. Good to see you. It's a delight for Kay and I to be back with you. I know that Hosey Ballou and Carl Reese have brought some wonderful messages over the last several weeks. I'm friends with both of those men of God. Also want to say thanks to the GAs. I received a wonderful, beautiful card from them, and I've received other cards and communication from different people as well. But the GAs had a beautiful card that they sent, very meaningful. Do you have your Bibles with you? And take your listening sheet, if you would, please. Looks to me like the preacher got wild today. 10 points. Whoa. Everybody together. Whoa. All right, you're going to have to listen fast then, because we need to try to be through at least by the second service time, okay? Well, Acts chapter 8, please. A message entitled 1:1:1. One of the greatest needs in the 21st century church today is for God's people to reproduce ourselves spiritually, to become a soul winner and a disciple maker. Say those last two words with me, please. Disciple maker. Say that again. Disciple maker. That is what Jesus has instructed us to be, and that's what he's instructed us to do within the church and for us individually. And so we need to be disciple makers, not just soul winners, although that is where it begins. And if we genuinely become a disciple maker, we will be soul winners. And that's a real critical need within the church today. I heard about a church not unlike Mountain Grove that was having its weekly outreach night. And the way they did that was they gathered together and got their assignments to go out into the Mountain Grove area and to visit different individuals and different prospects for the church. And then, if time permitted, for them to come back to the church for some coffee and donuts later and have a little report session. And that gave them time to encourage one another and to give an update on what they had done that evening. And so that's what they did this particular evening. And they went out in groups of two, and they had assignments. They went into homes to visit different prospects. And then they came back, and the pastor asked for any reports that they had. And one man raised his hand, and he said, "Oh, my wife and I went to this particular home, and we visited this particular family, and it was a wonderful visit." He said, "This is a great family. They visited our church last Sunday, and I'm pleased to report they're going to come back this next Sunday as well." And he said, "Wow." He said, "They just moved here from the St. Louis area, and he is a junior partner in a law firm. And they live in a brand new subdivision in the area, in a brand new house. It's a very nice house, and they've been very active in their church back in the St. Louis area. And he was a deacon and a Sunday school teacher, and she sings in the choir. And they've been extremely active, and the two teenage kids, they are well behaved and well mannered, and they're on the honor roll." And he said, "Pastor, we just had a great visit. I'm telling you, these are great prospects. We need them." And the pastor was excited about that report, and he said, "That's great." He said, "What other reports do you have?" Another guy raised his hand, and he said, "Oh, George and I went to this home And we had a great visit also. He said, now this house, well, cabin, shack, it's on the other side of the tracks. And he said, be honest with you, he said, we were a little concerned for our safety just being down there in that area. And he said, we went to this home and we knocked on the door and this lady came to the door and invited us in and said, Pastor, this was a filthy, filthy house. He said, I think they only had one bedroom, and he said they had four kids living there with them, and she and her husband, well, I don't really think that they were married. I think they were just shacking up. And he said he doesn't have a job, and they're on welfare, and the 16-year-old daughter, she's pregnant and obviously not married. I think they've got a couple of other kids that are older than the four that were living there with them, and said, the more we talked, I think there were two or three last names of these four kids. And Pastor, he said, it really was a great visit, and I think they're going to come to church Sunday. Listen, they are great prospects. They need us. We need them. They need us. What's your perspective about reaching your community? Are you pretty well motivated by we need them? Or are you more motivated by the fact that they need us? You're pretty selective about who you go after. Let me encourage you. There are a lot of people out there in the Mountain Grove area. They need us. And more importantly, they need our Jesus. That's the bottom line. It doesn't matter if you're up and out or down and out, my friend. People need Jesus. Well, let's read a story that I think will hit home with all of us, hopefully, and get your listening sheets ready with a pen or pencil as we walk through these 10 points. I'll try to honor time as we go through these. We'll just have to sort of skim the top on these different areas. We're in Acts chapter 8. And verse 26, beginning with verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and join yourself to that chariot. And Philip ran there to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "Well, how can I except some man should guide me?" And he asked Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now the place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch responded to Philip and said, "Well, I ask you, of whom is the prophet speaking? Of himself or of some other person?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he responded and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and Philip baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. All right, well, let me ask you, have you won one? Have you been responsible for being the primary agent in God's hand to share the gospel with somebody and see that person respond to faith in Jesus Christ? Do you have that desire? Do you have that passion? Do you want to reach Mountain Grove? Do you want to reach your community? You want to reach your friends in school? You want to reach your next door neighbors? Do you want to reach your employer and employees? You want to reach the people that you socialize with? Have you been responsible for sharing the gospel in such a way that God would use you like he did with Philip? Well, let's just unfold this story, and let me give you these 10 things. Number one, listen to God's voice. Listen to God's voice. Now, that's found in verse 26. Keep your Bibles open. We're just going to let the scriptures unfold before us today. "The angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, Arise and go." You know, many times this is the biggest hurdle, where we need to listen to God's voice, where we need to respond to God. But you can't respond to God if you're not listening to God's voice, if you're not trying to hear him, whether it's in church or whether it's outside of church on a daily basis, moment by moment. I was at a motel on a speaking engagement some time ago, I'd checked into my room. It was later at night, and I got to my room and realized I'd left something in the car. And I went down the elevator, walked through the corridor, and as I got right outside the front entrance of the motel, there was a man standing over the side, a rough, gruff-looking man, and he was smoking. And as I'm walking by, I'm telling you, I heard God say, "Stop and witness to that man." Now, I've had people say to me before, when I've said, "Well, I've heard God say," they've said, "Well, was it an audible voice?" I said, "Oh, no, no, it was much louder than that." And I don't really know how to describe it. Many of you know when God's telling you something, when God's speaking to you, it's pretty clear cut. And I'm telling you, it was clear cut. God said, "Stop and witness to that man." Well, I was on a mission. I'd forgotten something. It was in my car, and that's where I went. And I went to my car. I got what I needed out of the car. I'm walking back in, the man's still there, and God said, stop and witness to that man. I walked through the corridor, I punched the elevator button, I got on the elevator, and I said to myself, okay. So I punched the door again of the elevator. I got out of the elevator. I walked through the corridor. I walked outside. And the man was gone. He was gone. I hadn't been 30 seconds, maybe 40 at the most. The guy was gone. I'm looking around. I'm telling you, I'm looking around because finally, in this hard head, I said, okay. I looked around all outside. I walked inside. There was a couple of side rooms. I went to those side rooms. The guy wasn't there. Couldn't find the guy. Could not find him. Still smelled the smoke outside. Couldn't find the guy. I missed it. I flat out missed it. I heard God's voice. But I missed the assignment. Now, was the guy just an angel and God made him disappear? I don't know. I just know that God said something to me that I didn't respond to. So I'm saying the first thing about winning one, about being a soul winner and making disciples, about reaching Mountain Grove, about sharing Jesus with people, you got to hear God's voice. That's the first thing. And with Philip, it says that the angel of the Lord spoke unto him, and pretty simple instructions: arise and go. And the angel gave Philip the exact instructions about where he wanted him to go. All right, here's number two, and that is be obedient to where God sends you. Be obedient to where God sends you. Now, I like verse 27. It says, and he arose and went. He wasn't like Scribner that night, who was on another mission, not nearly as important. It says in verse 26, arise and go. In verse 27 says, he arose and went. It doesn't get any simpler than that, does it? And so if, in fact, God is telling you, giving you instructions, and God says, arise and go, then the very next verse ought to be, he arose and went. And that's what it says right here. Now, let me point out something to you. You need to go back to verse 5 of this chapter. We didn't read that, but go all the way back to verse 5, and you'll find out that Philip had been in a city, in the city of Samaria. And verse 5 says that he preached Christ to them. And then if you'll take time to read the subsequent verses from that, you'll find that he was having a tremendous citywide crusade. I'm telling you, God was using this man in a marvelous way. He was having a tremendous revival meeting. Many were getting saved and baptized. He was working miracles. He was involved in demonic deliverance. And it was a great display of the power of God in Philip's life. So understand where Philip had been and where he was when the angel said to him, arise and go. And so the fact of the matter is, it was pure obedience on Philip's part, because verse 27 says, he arose and went. Philip wasn't caught up in his own kingdom. He wasn't caught up in his own ministry development. He wasn't caught up in his own pride. He wasn't caught up in his own program. He wasn't caught up in his own pedigree. He was an obedient servant. I'm not sure that anything greater could be said about anybody. Couldn't be said in greater about Philip. Couldn't be said in greater about me or about you. Wouldn't that be something to have an epitaph on your tombstone? He was obedient to Jesus Christ. Amen. Wouldn't that be good right there? I'm not sure it says that it would be said any better about you or me if, in fact, that's what was said. He was an obedient servant. All right, here's number three. It's also found in verse 27. And number three is, one person matters. One person matters. Now, verse 27 says, and he arose and went, and behold, a man. Do you see that? A man. It doesn't say men. It's singular. It's not plural. A man of Ethiopia. Now, where was it that Philip had been? Been in Samaria. What was he doing there? Hello. Stay with me. He was preaching. To who? To a small group of people? Now, the whole city was on fire for God. The whole city was being touched. It was, in fact, a citywide crusade that God was doing through this man. And some phenomenal things were being done. And God lifted, moved Philip out of this tremendous movement that was happening there in the city of Samaria, and God moved him out to go between Jerusalem and Gaza in a desert area where he would find how many people? One. He would find one man sitting in a chariot, and it was to this man that God sent Philip. Now let me ask you something. Who is it? What one person is on your heart? What one person has God convicted you about? What one person has God made you passionate about that needs Jesus Christ? What one person in your sphere of influence, in your circle of friends, In your area of acquaintance, who is it that God has laid on your heart to say, I want you to zero in with that person. I'm going to position you in such a way that I want you to be ready to share the love of Christ. I want you to be ready to open yourself up with the love of God. I want you to be ready to share the gospel. I want you to be ready to communicate. I want you to be ready to share the gospel of salvation with this one person. You got anybody in mind? You got anybody in your heart? You see, the reality is most of us here today would have to get honest and say, not really. Because, see, that's the way we roll in the 21st century church. And it's not what it ought to be. We need to have that one person or 10 on our heart. And we need to be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks us a reason of the hope that is in us. We need to be ready with the gospel. And we need to understand that one person matters. Aren't you glad that you matter to God?
Amen. Yep.
And I want you to know that your husband matters to God. Your wife matters to God. Your son matters to God. Your daughter matters to God. Your grandma, your grandpa, they matter to God. Your employer matters to God. That employee that is the least paid in your business structure matters to God. The person that you're in athletics with matters to God. The person that you sit next to in school matters to God. The person that you text all the time matters to God. The person that you communicate with, the person that you socialize with, these individuals matter to God. And we need to understand that one person matters. Say those three words with me. One person matters. All right, here's number four. Number four, let the Spirit guide you. Let the Spirit guide you. That's verse 29. Now, verse 27, he says, he arose and went. Behold, a man, one person of Ethiopia, and he explains who he was and what his circumstances were. And then verse 29, it says, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join yourself to that chariot. So, again, we need to let the Spirit guide us. We need to be prayed up and packed up and ready to respond when the Spirit says, I want you to witness that, man, as you're walking through this motel door. I just got to admit failure at that point. I didn't respond obediently like I should have. So I'm saying we need to be prayed up and packed up and ready to respond when the Spirit says, go here, go there, do this, do that, witness this person. We need to be ready to do exactly that. We need to heed the need and follow His lead. I like that. Let's say that. Heed the need and follow His lead. Say it again. Heed the need and follow His lead. Say it again. Heed the need and follow His lead. Say it again. Heed the need and follow His lead. Turn to somebody next to you and say, heed the need and follow His lead. Hey, that'll work. That'll work. Here's number next. Be anxious to confront. Be anxious to confront. And that's found in verse 30. Now, verse 29, the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join yourself this chariot. Now, look at verse 30. And Philip sauntered over there. And Philip said, I need to take a nap first because it's been a long day. Man, I just came from Samaria and here I am here. I think I'm going to lay down and take a snooze first. What's it say he did? What did he do? He ran. He ran. Yeah. Yeah. And so he was anxious. He was anxious to confront. And I want you to know, my friend, we need to pray that God would create within us an anxiousness, an urgency, a passion, so that in fact, when God gives us an assignment, when God says go here, go there, when God says do this, speak to this person, we need to get with it. We need to get her done. Didn't I preach a sermon here one time called Get Her Done? All right, well, that applies right here. We need to get her done. And so we need to be anxious. There was an urgency. There, he had adrenaline flowing through his spiritual veins. He had a passionate pursuit after this man. I have a friend by the name of Mike Howell. I haven't talked to Mike for a long, long time, but a pastor that used to be in Ozark, Missouri, and he was a soul winner deluxe. I mean, Mike was passionate about winning souls, and there was a sign that he had hanging on his wall in his pastor study, and it said, ain't hardly nobody been won what ain't been went after. Amen. I'm not sure I could say it any better than that. Ain't hardly nobody been won what ain't been went after. And that's the way it needs to be for us, day by day, moment by moment. We need to be ready with a passion and be anxious to confront. All right, here's number six. Number six, open your mouth. Open your mouth. Now, it says that he ran to the chariot, and he heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah, and he spoke and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the eunuch said, "Well, how can I except someone guide me?" And then he asked Philip, "Come on up here and sit with me." And then he identifies the fact that the place where he was reading was from Isaiah, and he tells us specifically there that it was in Isaiah 53, I think it is. And so then it says in verse 35, then Philip, now look at this, opened his mouth. He opened his mouth. Now, I've had people over the years that have said to me, "Well, Pastor, I'm just not a real good witness. I try to do that with my life." Well, okay. That's a great start. To be honest with you, I've met a whole lot of people that I just wish they'd do it with their life. But then I say to people, that's a great start. Now you also need to do it, not with your just with your life, but with your lips. So when you put a combination of your life and your lips together, you're going to be a pretty good witness. Everybody with me? It says that Philip opened his mouth. I find it interesting that most of us, we don't have trouble opening our mouths and talking to other people about what we want to talk to them about. Man, you ought to have seen the fish I caught this week. Man, you ought to gone shopping with me this week. Look at this dress. And I got it for just $15. Look at that. And man, you should have been with me at work the other day. Here's what happened. Did you see that show on TV? Were you watching the big game on TV? See, we don't have trouble talking about the things that we want to talk about, do we? But the reality is, the greatest thing that's ever happened to you, the greatest thing, the greatest thing that's ever happened to you, we're a little timid about sharing that, aren't we? So we need to ask God to really instill within our hearts and within our lives that this is, in fact, the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. So why in the world would I want to keep it to myself? It says that he opened his mouth. We've got to get away from this Fifth Amendment Christianity. St. Francis of Assisi has been accredited with this saying. I'm not 100% sure that he actually said this, but he has been accredited with the saying, "Preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words." That's an okay statement, but it's actually a totally wrong premise. That would be like saying, "Feed the hungry, and when necessary, use food." It just sort of falls into place, my friend. And Romans 10:14 says, "How shall they hear without a preacher?" You've got to use your words. You've got to open your mouth. You've got to confront people, and you've got to share with people about the greatest thing that's ever happened to you. All right, here's number seven. Share the word. Share the word. That's also found in verse 35. And then Philip opened his mouth, and look at this, and began at the same scripture. Began at the same scripture. Now, where was the eunuch reading? We know that from this the context here. He was reading from what? The scroll of Isaiah. The scroll of Isaiah. And so Philip opened his mouth and began right there, right where the man was. That's good advice also, my friend. Just meet people where they are. Just meet people where they are. Jesus was a master at that. He met the woman at the well in Samaria, and he said, "Give me something to drink." And she said, "Well, the water's deep and I don't have anything to draw from." And he said, "Well, let me tell you then about living water." And so just meet people where they are. And that's what he did. But share the word with them, because it's the word that's going to set people free. You shall know the truth. Where do you get the truth? You get it from the book of truth, my friend. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so we need to share the word. All right, here's number eight. Are you thinking there's hope that we're going to finish this message today? Man alive, we're moving along faster than we thought, aren't we? Here's number eight. Point people to Jesus. Amen. That's also verse 35. Verse 35 says, "Then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture," and look at this, "preached unto him," who? Jesus. Say his name. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. Listen, people don't need to be introduced to you and me, my friend. We can be friends to them. We can maybe help them. But Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the one. Jesus is who we need to introduce people to. Amen? Jesus is what Mountain Grove needs. Jesus is what your community needs. Jesus is what your next door neighbor needs. Jesus is what your husband, wife, son, daughter, grandma, grandpa. That's who they need. Jesus is who your employer, your employees need. Your school friend. Jesus. He's the one that is the transformer. He's the one that's the Savior. Jesus is the one. It's not about you or me. It's not even about our church. It's about Jesus. We need to introduce people to Jesus. Going down to verse 37, where the eunuch says in verse 36, "Here's water. What hinders me to be baptized?" And Philip said in verse 37, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And look at this. He answered and he said, "I believe that," who? "Jesus Christ is the Son of God." I believe that Jesus is who he said he was. I believe that Jesus did what he said he did. I believe that Jesus is God come in the flesh. Jesus is the one. Here's number nine. You do the follow-up. You do the follow-up. Now, look at verse 38. The eunuch said in verse 37, "Well, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." And verse 38, he commanded the chariot to stand still. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him right there on the spot. And so you do the follow-up. When you have an opportunity to lead someone to faith in Jesus Christ, then don't come running down here to the church and say, "I need to tell the pastor." And it's okay to do that, because the pastor's going to get excited about that. "Well, I need to tell Brother Jim." Well, it's okay to do that, because Jim's going to get excited about that. "Well, I need to let Brother Kent know." It's okay to do that, because Kent's going to get excited about that. But then, too many times, we say, "Brother Jim, will you go visit this person?" Well, why don't I come to your house for supper when you have that person there? And that way I'll get some food out of it. Yeah. While you do the follow-up. That's pretty good thinking, isn't it, Jim? Okay. Everybody with me on this? You're the one that led them to Jesus Christ. That's why we need to be a soul winner and a disciple maker. We need to be a soul winner and a... So you do the follow-up. You're the one that led them to Christ. You're the one that led her to Christ. You do the follow-up. And you say, well, I don't think I'm able to do that. Oh, yes, you are. How many have been a Christian at least 1 month? Keep your hands up. How many have been a Christian at least 1 year? 5 years. 10 years. 15 years. 25 years. 35 years. 40 years. How old are you? All right, listen. I mean to tell you, I've had hands up for a long time here. You do the follow-up. You're capable. Amen. You're capable. If you've been a Christian a month, you say, only a month. That's all right. You don't know it all. No. Guess who else doesn't know it all? But I know enough. I know enough. I know enough to help somebody learn a little bit more. What if they ask a question that I don't know? They will. And you say, I don't know. But I'll find out. Amen. That's when you run down here to Brother Jim. Say, Jim. Someone asked me this question. That's okay. Because we're working at being a disciple maker. Everybody following this? Amen. This is practical, my friend. Amen. Here's the last thing I want you to see. Number 10. Do it again. Amen. Do it again. It says in verse 38... Philip baptized them. Verse 39, when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip that the eunuch didn't see him anymore. And the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Look at this, verse 40. But Philip was found at Azotus, and there he checked into a nice resort so he could sit around and do nothing. Is that what it says? No. What do you think he did? Well, it says what he did. Passing through, he preached in all the cities. And so Philip was doing what Philip did. And that's what you and I are going to do. We're going to make it a lifestyle. I said we're going to make it a what? A lifestyle. A lifestyle. So that we can go out here and knock on a door and come away saying, oh man, they are great prospects. They need us. And what we got, and what we've got, my friend, is the love of God and the message of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me pray with you. Father, we've got the message. And we've got the method. Give us the motivation. to be a soul winner and a disciple maker. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you don't have Jesus in your life, if you don't, I don't assume that in a crowd like this that everybody's a Christian. It'd be nice, but I don't assume that. Do not just sit there, my friend. The moment we stand, if you're in the balcony, if you're in the back, if you're on the side, if you're in the middle, the moment we stand, make your way to the nearest aisle. Pastor Jim's going to be standing here waiting to counsel with you and talk with you. And if need be, he can turn that over to someone else as well. But today, right now, make up your mind. I need Jesus. I want Jesus. I will respond to Jesus. So decide to come today to Jesus. Now, maybe you're ready to attach yourself to this church. Maybe you're ready to follow Jesus in believers' baptism. Or maybe there's something that we can pray with you about. So we stand ready to do that. But I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask Christians to come and to kneel on an altar of prayer. I've done that every time I've preached here. And I'm going to ask Christians to come and kneel on an altar of prayer. And here's what I do in this prayer this morning. I would kneel down before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be one that wins one. I want to be like Philip. I want to be packed up and prayed up and ready to share Jesus. So help me to do that. I want to be responsible for being the catalyst to point somebody to Jesus. And when Jay asked me a while ago who it was on my mind, I really didn't have anybody. So God, put that person on my mind and on my heart. I want to be passionate about seeing that person come to Jesus Christ. That'd be a great place to begin right here on your knees. So as soon as we stand, I'm going to ask Christian to come and kneel on an altar and say, God, I want to be one that wins one. I want to be that person. I want to find that person out there that needs the love of Jesus and that needs the love of God and that needs the message of salvation. I want to be responsible for that. It'll revolutionize you and it'll revolutionize your church, my friend. But now don't miss out on what I'm saying here. If you're the one today, I can't tell you enough. I can't be serious and passionate enough to say, don't leave this building without you coming and saying, I'm the one that needs Jesus today. All right, let's stand together, move to the altar.
Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hand, crafted into your perfect. Gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know
again in just a moment. Have you done that? Have you jumped up on the potter's wheel? That's sort of what we're doing this morning. Many have come to say that today. God shaped me into a soul winner and a disciple maker. God will do that. He's looking for a willing vessel. He's looking for a willing vessel. It'll revolutionize your life, my friend. I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure there's anything more exciting other than your own salvation experience. I'm not sure there's anything more exciting than to have the privilege to lead someone to faith in Jesus Christ. But I want you to understand very clearly, that's not where it ends, that's where it begins. A soul winner and a disciple maker. That's where we need to be. That's where we need to be. And revolutionize your church as well, my friend. I want to ask that we sing just one more time. And if you haven't come to the altar, and you need to, then come on. If you need to make that decision of receiving Christ or making it known today or following Jesus in baptism or attaching yourself to this church, or if we can just pray with you about something. Just one more time through, if you would, please.
Wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hands. Into your perfect plan. Into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit, teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by
so much. Thank you, Kent and team. Thank you. Thanks for your attentiveness, not only your attendance today, but thanks for your attentiveness being in God's Word. And as you get a grip on God's Word, it's going to get a grip on you, and God's going to use you this week to be bold about Jesus. God bless you. Pastor?
You know, I've sang that song growing up for years and years and years. And just standing here listening to that, the words that got me right there were, set me apart. You know what I'm talking about? We're called to be different with Jesus. And you know what? Here's the cool thing about that. Miss Shelby Reese, those of you that know her and were here on Easter, she did something pretty special to set herself apart. And I'm going to let her tell you what she did. So, Shelby, what did you do on Easter?
I accepted Jesus into my heart.
Give her a hand. So, Dean brought Shelby up to me, and we talked a little bit, and she made that profession of faith in Jesus Christ, and Shelby is set apart. And Jay was talking about this morning, that's the same Jesus. And if you guys can't get excited about that, I don't know what you get excited about. So what we're going to do is Shelby and I are going to talk. We've already talked about baptism, possibly in the creek. So be watching the calendar and knowing what's going on here, because Shelby wants to be baptized to let everybody know what Jesus Christ has done in her life. So let's give her one more round of applause and give her a shake. Thank you so much. So as our ushers come forward, we're going to pray over our offering. Stay standing, please. And then Shelby and Dean are going to come up here after service is over. Come up, give her a hug, and just tell her that you love her and that you're excited for her. And give her some encouragement, okay?
One name holds weight above them all. His fame outlasts the earth he formed. His praise resounds beyond the stars and echoes in our hearts. The greatest one of all. His face shines brighter than the sun. His grace as boundless as his love. He reigns with healing in his wings. The King above all kings, the greatest one of all. Lift up our eyes, see the King has come. Light of the world reaching out for us. There is no other name. There is no other name. Jesus Christ our God. Oh, seated on high, the undefeated one. Mountains bow down as we lift him up. There is no other name. There is no other name. Jesus Christ our God. Oh, find hope when all the world seems lost. Behold the triumph of the cross. His power has trampled death and grave. Our life found in his name, the greatest name of all. Lift up our eyes, see the King has come. Light of the world reaching out for us. There is no other name. There is no other name. Jesus Christ our God. Oh, seated on high, the undefeated one. Mountains bow down as we lift him up. There is no other name, there is no other name, Jesus Christ our God, oh, Jesus. The earth will shake and tremble before him. Chains will break as heaven and earth sing. Holy is the name. Holy is the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. The earth will shake and tremble.
lift up our eyes, see the King has come.
Let's stand together.
Light of the world, reaching out for us.